is going to suck.
What's going to suck?
No, just talking to Tony last night, and he's like, oh, the Dolphins should get Matt Flynn.
Matt?
Yeah, Matt Flynn, exactly.
You know, that actually wouldn't be a bad idea.
You say that. No, it's horrible. Anyway, I'm Steve.
Yeah, I'm Mike.
And this is our pilot podcast.
Absolutely. It's going to kick ass, guys. You got to stick around. We're going to do it once a week. Every Sunday. This is a Sunday six-pack.
Yeah, it looks like every Sunday. That's where we're going to be.
Yeah, but what's wrong with Matt Flynn?
The idea is just the fact we're not...
He can't be worse than Matt Moore, though.
No, I don't dispute that, but what's the point? What is the point of going from Dan Marino to... And now it's like, oh, I hope we get Matt Moore this... Or Flynn this offseason. That's an idea, and like that's something I should be excited about. Sucks. That's awful.
I think I know where you're coming from. I think what you're thinking of is that Matt Flynn's a system quarterback, not necessarily a skill quarterback.
I mean, you know, he played one game. Tony goes, oh, well, he threw for six touchdowns. Why? I don't want to be excited.
It was against a good defense.
Yeah, big deal. I don't care. I don't want him.
Well, then who do you want?
I wanted Andrew Luck. I wanted RG3.
All right, well, hold on. Wait. All right, so would you be interested in Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I guess. Even that, there's so many questions with him. Is he going to stay healthy?
All questions aside, assuming that he gets released by the Colts, which is almost a certainty at this point, you sign him. Obviously, he has to pass a physical, and he passed the physical.
I would have to be retarded to say no to Peyton Manning. I would have to be completely, like, illiterate and brain dead to say, no, I don't want Peyton Manning. It's just, even that, though, that's like a two-year fix, and then after 2 years, we're back to where we are right now.
Exactly.
So what the fuck's the point? Let's get something where we're going to be good for the next 10 years and we have nothing to worry about.
So
we got our guy. I want to have a guy. I don't have a Dolphins jersey. I want to be able to own a Dolphins jersey and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's good. He's not leaving us in the next 3 years. I refuse to get a Brandon Marshall jersey because I don't know how long he's going to be here. Same thing with Reggie Bush. Zach Thomas came and left. Zay came and left. Jason Taylor, same thing.
So let me ask you this. Why Andrew Luck, why RG3 over somebody like Matt Flynn, who's played played in the NFL and proven that he can perform at a high level?
He played one game.
He's played more than one game. He's come in relief for Aaron Rodgers on more than one occasion. He had a concussion last year.
I want someone. I'm not excited. There's no excitement level with Matt Flynn. It's not, you're not going to get me to be like, okay, fine, I'll take him. Like, yes, I will take him, but I'm not going to be like, oh my god, we got Matt Flynn, yeah. It was like, when we got Dante Culpepper, I was pumped. And I now, of course, know I was stupid, but I was so excited. Yes, we got Dante, you know, we went out and got a big name free agent at quarterback.
Well, the same thing can happen with any first round draft pick. I mean, look at Alex Smith.
I agree, but even Alex Smith, though, I think when Alex Smith was coming out of college, I don't remember the draft exactly, but what I remember being talked about a lot is it wasn't a very good draft. San Francisco desperately needed a quarterback. He was the only quarterback really to take that year.
What about Jamarcus Russell?
Jamarcus Russell? No, you know what, though? I know how much you fucking hate him, but let's be honest. He was a really good college player, and
that's
I
it.
Think he just... Yeah, but you know what, though? He just went to a really train wreck of a football team, and...
But why can't he find a team now? I mean, he hasn't been in the league for, what, 2 years?
Oh, that's because he's a lunatic. He's a complete lunatic. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he sort of was hanging out with the Yin-Yang Twins, right? Drinking purple drank or something.
All black people drink purple drank.
Whoa! Whoa, throwing out a stereotype there. Hey, that's what you can expect from us here.
No, you guys don't really... Yeah, I shouldn't be saying things like that. You guys don't know me. I have a lot of black friends. I'm allowed to say it.
Hey, whatever. I can vouch for that. He's balling on the courts, you know, in the hood of EHT.
Yeah, you know, the mean streets.
No, we are very un-PC, so
We have no reason to be PC. I mean, it's a podcast. It's online.
Absolutely not. I hate politically correct speech. It's annoying.
For the sake of it, it's kind of silly. So, I figured we'd go over some of the fun prop bets for the Super Bowl.
How long the national anthem's going to be? Who's going to be the score the first touchdown? Is there a bet on whether or not it's going to be heads or tails in the coin flip?
I'm sure there is. I didn't look at what the odds are for that one because I didn't think that'd be very fun to talk about the coin toss. Who gives a shit?
Well, it's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not a fun topic if the referee flips it with his, depending on what finger he uses, I don't think it's a fun topic to talk about, Mike. Nobody wants to go out and talk about
it. Are there odds on who's going to flip the coin?
I could pull that up right now. I mean,
what do you think the odds are that Peyton Manning flips the coin?
I don't think it happens. They won't let him on the field in Indianapolis.
Why not?
He
built the fucking place.
Not with his own hands.
But with his talent, he did.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. What are some of these prop bets?
All right. Over under 55.5. Go. I'm writing it down.
Over under.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, of course. We're gonna talk about it. Yeah, we're gonna have a Super Bowl preview show next week for you guys as well. We're gonna do a podcast right before the Super Bowl.
We're having a little Super Bowl party, so whoever's here is gonna jump on and have some fun.
If they so desire. So over under 55 points. I'm going to go under.
Okay. I'll take the over just for fun.
If you were actually laying some cash down on this, what would you would go under, wouldn't you?
Well,
55 is a lot of points.
Yeah, it is.
Especially with how good the Giants defense is. And New England. I mean, have you seen what Belichick's been doing with their defense lately? They've been going back and forth from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and then switching in between right before the play starts from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and the defense situationally is just very good.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't want to be like one of those guys who just, I have nothing to say, but no, you're right. You know. It is what it is.
So if you go over on that 55, I think you're a complete moron, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't really look at the odds either. All right, who gets MVP?
Who gets MVP?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Oof. Well, I think the Giants are going to win, so obviously I'm going to be picking a Giants player here.
Oh, this is going to kill him, boss. I know he doesn't want to say.
No. I'm going with a defensive player for MVP.
Of course he is. Anything not to give Eli more credit. He'll be wearing an Eli jersey, too.
I think the one single player that's going to have just as much, if not more, of an impact on the game than Eli Manning is going to be JPP.
All right. Yeah. That's what we're closing with, by the way, too, the My Cousin's song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's what we close with on this podcast, with that song.
I like that. I like that. If you guys haven't heard it before... Is a song that Steve's cousin wrote and recorded.
Shout out to Josh. Hopefully we can get him to listen to this. Yeah, maybe he was just on WFAN last week.
Nice.
Dude, killing it. And he killed it with Tresh from Naughty by Nature. Like, they did like a little remix version of it. It was pretty badass.
Awesome. That's awesome. And he's like on a first name basis with all the Giants players and all that.
It's crazy. Crazy. Absolutely
crazy.
So
we'll give you guys a little taste of that at the end of the podcast.
So, you taking JPP at MVP?
Yeah, I'm taking
JPP. I'll take Dominic Cruz. I just said Dominic Cruz, and I do that all the time. I always confuse Victor Cruz and Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz is the MMA fighter in the UFC.
Yeah.
And I do that all the time.
I was going to say, that didn't sound right.
You should have saw your face.
All right, so Victor Cruz, so we're both in agreement that the Giants are going to win this game.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be a blowout, though.
No, it's going to be a good game. That's one of the reasons why I'm really happy with the Super Bowl that we got, is because of the quality of game that we're going to get again on Sunday. All right. Which player scores the first touchdown?
All right. Are we talking about That's a tough one.
I'll take Gronk.
You're going to take Gronk?
I'll take the Gronk. He's hurt, though, but I'm going to take Gronk.
Yeah, that's kind of a risky bet, considering the fact that he's got a, was it a high ankle sprain?
That's exactly what it is. But I'm going to go ahead and assume the Patriots get the ball first, and they go down the field and score. And who's going to score on that team? Gronk? Or Wes Welker, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the red zone, he likes to throw to either Aaron Hernandez or Gronkowski.
Yeah, but all it takes is like a little 30-yard play after the catch. And, from Wes Welker, that's a touchdown. So who you taking?
I'm going to have to I'm thinking the Giants are going to strike first here. I'm going with Victor Cruz.
You're going to be hearing a lot of Cruz.
He killed it for me in fantasy this year.
Dude, that's crazy how good he was. Like, I was like, oh, just another Giants receiver. He'll be up and down all year. That's why I had Myron Manningham on my bench all season. Whatever. Over under a minute 34 seconds, national anthem from Kelly Clarkson.
From Kelly Clarkson? Ugh, I don't even think I want to watch it.
How un-American he doesn't want to watch national anthem.
No. Before I get to what I think about that, did you see the national anthem that Steven Tyler did during the
I heard about it. I didn't see what happened. It was awful. Why?
It just didn't sound good.
Now, look, I'm not a singing expert by any means. In fact, I think singing is kind of gay. But to think Steven Tyler is going to go out there and acapella the national anthem, you got to be out of your mind.
No, he needs a guitar riff behind him or something.
The crazy things he does with his voice. And
he did that.
See, that's insane. I didn't even hear it, and I think he's nuts. Or the song had to be weird.
He did that like crazy scream that I'm not even going to try
to do. Shit!
I always count on Steve to do that.
Everyone's like, mute. Shut up.
He did a little bit of that, but I mean, the rest of the song...
I gotta write down this stuff, though.
Steve's sitting there playing with the pen. And you guys can probably hear it. No, but it just didn't sound good. Like, you get your classic singer out there, like, I don't know, Kelly Clarkson, for example, or Justin Timberlake, that actually has not just a good voice, but a refined voice. Steven Tyler's voice is different.
And to hear more of Mike breaking down different singers, listen to his other podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't exist, so search on for it.
So over under 134.
Over under 134 from Kelly Clarkson. I'm gonna have to go over. She's gonna try and overextend it.
I'll take the under, only because it's wishful thinking. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I think it's a smart bet to always bet the over on that, to be quite honest with you.
Is it? I've never looked at the history of...
Well, neither have I, but if you really think about it, it's the grandest stage of singing the national anthem.
Is it the grandest stage? Yeah, I guess so.
Where else do you hear the national anthem being sung that more people watch than the Super Bowl?
That's true, I mean...
You're getting your name out there, you're getting your face out there, and you want to showcase your abilities, so why wouldn't you try to extend notes, hold them longer, et cetera, et cetera. The only other thing that can bite you in the ass is if they get nervous and rush through it.
And I think Kelly Clarkson's been on a big enough stage too, where she's not going to get nervous. Let's change the topic of Kelly Clarkson's singing skills and talk about Madonna. Is she going to use a microphone or a headset?
Ooh, a bigger question is, does she whip her titty out this time? You remember that?
What? Madonna whipping her titty out?
That was Janet Jackson, that's right.
Yeah, I was just going to let you go on with that one. let me save him for the 10 people listening.
How does Madonna not wear a headset?
I'm going headset, too.
I don't think I've ever seen her not use a
headset. She seems headset. There's no way we're going to remember that, what she did next week when we talk about this.
I will say this. Thank God it's Madonna and not Lady Gaga.
Well, she might come out with some nice animal skin or animal penises all over.
What is that? Seriously.
What, animal penises?
No, Lady
They're
Gaga.
Penises of an animal.
No, Lady... What is that? And I don't refer to her as a she or a he. It's an it. Because I can't figure out what it is. She's atrocious.
She's pretty bad. But how are we talking about Lady Gaga?
I thought they were going to talk about sports.
People refer to her. Kelly Clarkson to Steven Tyler, and now we're talking about Lady Gaga.
We bounce all over the place. No, people refer to her as this generation's Madonna.
Well, Madonna was a fucking lunatic too.
Exactly.
So that's why it makes sense.
That's why we're talking. You asked me why we're talking about Lady
Gaga.
No,
I'm just saying it's the amount of singers you're talking about. It's not what I was expecting to talk about.
Hey, man, you know we bounce all over the place. You know we hit touch on every topic. So definitely going with the headset. What's the next prop bet?
How many times does Jim Irsay get mentioned on TV? Over under is at one.
Over under is at one. I think we're going to go with... God, can you just take the line?
That's what I'm saying. I think one's the perfect number right there. If I had to guess, I'd take the over...
You can't take the under here.
If I had to, yeah.
You can't, because he's going to get mentioned at least once, because you know they're going to talk about Peyton Manning.
At least once, especially with his fucking brother being the
being
quarterback.
In this, exactly. Yeah. It's, if it's either over or under, I'm taking the over. If I can,
exactly.
If I can take the line, I'm taking the line.
Alright. Who does Obama take to win the game? You can bet on that.
You can bet on who Obama thinks is going to win the game? Are you kidding me?
What? No, I just said it for fun. Yeah, you could bet on it.
Wait, where does that get reported?
I'm sure he'll make a cool little YouTube clip like, hey, let's go Giants. Or,
shouldn't he, like,
up,
you know, be let's busy running the country and trying to
man,
fix
Sunday,
it?
Sunday, yo. Come on, man.
That's a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day job, man. Don't get me started on politics.
If you were president, he'd be watching the Super Bowl, too.
Well, yeah, of course I would.
Okay, so shut the fuck up. What do you mean? The guy can't watch a game?
All right, is it who he's rooting for or who
he picks to win the game?
If he's the president and he doesn't pick the Patriots, there's something wrong.
Oh, I see what you did there. I think, here's how I feel. I think Obama, he knows a little bit about sports. Not a little bit. The guy knows about sports.
I think he knows a little bit more about basketball.
But he knows.
And that's not just because he's black. No, seriously, he's made like comments about basketball before.
No,
he's
a big basketball
fan. He put a basketball court in the White House for Christ's sake.
Awesome. But anyway, I think he's going to take the Giants because I think he thinks of himself as a fan. Educated fan, and I think any educated fan's got to be taking the Giants or leaning that way. So I'm giving the guy credit. So
you believe all the wise guys in Vegas betting on the Giants only moved the line a half a point?
It's at 2.5 now.
It was at 3.
It started at 3.5.
Oh, it did start at 3.5.
Started at 3.5. It's at 2.5 now.
What source are we using?
ESPN, whatever they said on the bottom line. I just watched it. Go
when did it move
and
to
half.
2.5?
Friday? Thursday or Friday? Don't, you know, beat me up, people, but it was one of those 2 days. So you said he's taking the Patriots?
An entire point is huge.
Yeah, last I... What? Oh, man, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought.
I don't know. Let's
move on. Which region gets a higher rating, Boston or New York?
You said region, not city, right?
That's the way it was worded.
Oof. I'm going to go with New York just because there's simply just more people in the New York region.
I'm going to think that when they say region, they mean the New England area as well as Boston. So, with that said, I'll take Boston, and I really am not that confident.
You sound so confident about
that. Exactly. Well, the only thing I'm wondering is, like, Is North Jersey the same thing as...
It's the New York area.
New York area. So, if so, that's another million people or whatever.
It's a lot of people in North
Jersey. Yeah, so, but whatever. I'll take New England.
North Jersey is the entire reason why New Jersey sucks to live in. Overinflated insurance rates because of the the average amount of people per square mile and all that BS.
You just spilled beer all over me.
What?
I'm a mess. I spilled beer all over.
Oh, I thought you said I did. I was like, I didn't spill beer. What?
No, that would be weird. Do we want to predict the game now, or you want to wait till next week right before it?
You know what? Why don't we do a little prediction now, and then we can revise on Sunday.
All right, go ahead.
When you say predict, are you saying who's going to win based on the line, or do you want to score?
Give me a score.
I'm going to go 30-27. No, scratch that out because I went under.
I was about to call you out on that shit. Just about to.
23-20, Giants.
Okay. I took the under two, but the more I keep looking at, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I'll go 33-28, Giants.
By a hefty 5-point margin there, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think the score will indicate how close the game is. I think maybe they were down 28-27, 2 minutes left. Eli drives him down the field because he's the best and scores a touchdown. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'll go a little bit further. I say Brady's got the ball last.
And he can't get it done?
And Gostkowski misses a 45-plus yarder to lose.
Wow. Some Billy Cundiff shit right there.
make Billy feel a little bit better about himself.
Wow.
Wait, who is a bigger goat? Billy Cundiff or Kyle Williams?
I feel so bad for the two of them. And I just... Not that either of them are ever going to hear this, but...
You never know, they might.
Only because I really feel bad for Kyle Williams and the ridiculous death threats he's getting. I'm going to say Billy Cundiff, just for that sake alone.
I mean,
and then did you hear what the Giants were doing? They were like, well, we know he's been concussed 4 times, so we were trying to take him out, even though they never really hit him too hard to begin with. But it was definitely in their head.
Yeah. Yeah, but the other thing is that you can also look at Billy Cundiff as not the backup field goal kicker.
That's true, too. I mean, he's expected to come in there, make the field goal, win the game, send it to overtime. Now, at the same time, we wouldn't even be talking about that if the catch is made in the end zone. Evans? Lee Evans?
No, it was their tight end. I can't remember what his name is.
What do we return? No, it wasn't Dixon. Dixon's their starting tight end.
I don't remember who it was. It doesn't matter.
I think it was Lee Evans.
Are you sure? All right. It doesn't matter. If that catch is made, the field goal doesn't matter. But, I mean, the whole thing that kind of offsets the fact that Kyle Williams isn't the regular kick returner is the fact that he fucked up twice.
It was Lee Evans.
It was Lee Evans? Okay. Yeah. I mean, Kyle Williams... He screwed the pooch twice. I mean, not only does he, make the fumble that ultimately cost him the game, but he also was near a punt that he had no business being anywhere near. You're either going
to
catch it.
I love the way he tried to play it off like, yo, that shit didn't touch me. What you talking about?
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'd be like, what's up?
I mean, look at Derek Jeter. With that controversial pitch that hit the butt of his bat, and he played it off like he got hit by the pitch, and he got the base.
That's so funny to me that when people were like, "Oh, well, they're cheating." Have you ever played sports before in your entire fucking life? If you're not trying to do everything you can to win, I don't want you on my team.
If it means using a little bit of dishonesty, if you can get away with it, get away with it.
Do it. Do it now.
That's what she said, Steve.
That's what she said. You know what? We missed an over-under. How many times is pain shown on TV? Over-under 3.5. That's a perfect number.
That is a perfect number. And in fact, if I was setting the line, that's what I would set it at.
3.5?
Yeah, exactly 3.5. Oh, God, 3.5.
I'm taking Peyton the under.
I think I'm going to go over. You know why?
Why?
Because I think they're going to show him every time the Giants score, especially if it's an Eli touchdown.
Okay. Okay, good logic. All right, this isn't on there, but what the hell? Let's see what we can do. Which company has the best commercial?
E-Trade.
E-Trade. Okay.
That's dude. Have you been seeing the E-Trade commercials lately? They've been pretty freaking good. I think they've got something up their sleeve for the Super Bowl. Although I will say this, the E-Trade commercials have been kind of, or not E-Trade, but just Super Bowl commercials in general have been kind of terrible lately.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm one of these people that watch a lot of TV, but I'm always changing the channel when as soon as I see a commercial. So, like during the Super Bowl, it's like, oh, I'm watching the game with everybody, and everybody else wants to see these fucking shitty commercials.
Do you remember when right before like the big .com boom, when all the websites started making their own commercials and stuff? Right when that happened, that's when the Super Bowl commercials went to shit.
That's true. Eventually, we'll have a shitty commercial on the Super Bowl. Just say. I'm going with Budweiser. Their beer usually sucks, but they usually have.
They haven't had a good Super Bowl commercial since Budweiser.
And that's the one I still remember. So.
You don't remember that commercial?
No, I still remember that one. That's why I think it's stuck in my head.
Fantastic commercial. Do you know what other beer commercial I really like? I like the Real Men of Genius.
Yeah, those are pretty good too. Yeah.
Love those commercials. They have like close to like 500 of those.
Do they really?
Yeah, you can actually
go on their website.
They have them on their website. You can go and listen to them on their website.
You know who I wish would advertise or like they don't need to? A SportsCenter commercial. Those are the best commercials throughout the year, and
they are pretty good.
Let me see one.
Like they got they'll have like some mascot from some obscure team like walking through the halls, and like somebody will just like come and tackle them or something.
They're like, usually pretty entertaining.
And it's like this
the,
is
the David Ortiz one where he was folding the bill of Jorge Posada's hat. And the Red Sox mascot's walking by, and he's going, "What? No, no, no!" And then the mascot runs off, and David Ortiz is chasing him. Great commercial. Oh, my God.
I got to watch SportsCenter more. I really do.
Then did you ever see the Alzheimer's commercial when they had Alzheimer's Day, and they're all... And they got old people on the commercial, and they're, like, hosting SportsCenter.
No, I've never seen that.
The one guy's falling asleep. He's like, 12 o'clock, I can't stay up to sleep.
12 o'clock a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
Yeah, that's kind of late. I mean, you think about it.
Especially when you're 70.
Most 70-year-old people are eating dinner at 4 o'clock and then they're in bed by 7.
Oh, my. So, last weekend, you know, I went to my grandparents' house because I'm in the Coast Guard, and I stay at my grandparents' house in Cherry Hill.
Yeah, man, I was there.
Well, yeah. No, I'm telling everybody else.
All right, yeah.
That makes more sense. And anyway, so I get over there, and I get there. It's like 4 o'clock. They're like, okay, sit down, time to eat. And I'm like, what? I just had lunch like an hour ago. They're like, yeah, but it's dinner time now. You got to eat. I don't know why I'm giving them a New York accent. They're from Philly.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But, yeah, oh, 4 o'clock, it's dinner time with these people. And that, like, if they're here, you know, we eat dinner 7 o'clock usually, and they're like, I'm starving. And they start complaining 3:30, 4 o'clock. They're like, what time are we eating? I gotta get to bed in 2 hours.
When do they eat? Do they eat breakfast?
Yeah.
What time do they eat breakfast?
About
5:30. Oh, my God. If my bloodshot eyes ever open at that hour, I go right back to sleep.
Right? Fun 5:30.
5:30, what?
I gotta get some sleep.
It's like the ass crack of dawn. I need to go back to bed. Oh, but and then they eat lunch at what, like 11?
Yeah, everything's like 2 hours early. Everything is 2 hours off. You gotta get the early bird special. See, the people in Florida, I get, because they're going to a restaurant 4 o'clock to get the early bird special. You know, you get a good deal on dinner. You know?
I get it. Yeah,
I get that, but not when you're at home.
But I'm not going to bed before primetime TV, and I'm going to get hungry again if I need it.
Mike, how old are you?
How
old are you, Mike?
I'm going to be 30.
Okay. These people are in their mid 80s. They don't care about primetime TV. My grandmother watches Game Show Network and Oprah and goes to sleep. What the fuck?
Do you really think that when you're 80, you're going to be going to bed at 7 o'clock and eating dinner at 3?
I would like to hope not.
I don't know
how it's going to be in 50 years. I also think we're going to live until we're 150 years old, too. So I think 80 for us is going to be totally different than 80 for them.
150?
Easy.
Oh, God, I hope I'm dead by then.
Watch this awesome documentary. It's by Ray Kurzweil. It's called Transcendent Man. I think you get it on Netflix. You got Netflix, right?
I do.
Watch it. It's called Transcendent Man.
It was in the documentary section, right?
I just said that, so...
Yeah.
You didn't watch the UFC last night, so we can't really talk about that.
I felt like shit yesterday. We were supposed to do this podcast yesterday.
Yeah, we could have made predictions for the UFC show that happened last night, and talked about how shitty our predictions were today, or next week, but you fucked that all up. But we could talk about, I guess, next week, right? You got Nick Diaz, Carlos Condit, your boy. No? No?
Who's my boy?
Nick Diaz. Did you watch UFC Primetime Friday? Like, you know, I sent you that text, like, hey,
yeah,
FX, 11 o'clock.
I was flipping back and forth.
So you didn't really watch it?
Not really.
What a bitch.
Yeah, you know.
That's got to do a little prep work for a fucking podcast. You know,
I'm sorry. I'm entertained by UFC. I am. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not to the point where I'm like, gotta fucking watch this like a football game. You gotta get me, if you get me in front of the TV and put it on and I'm watching it, then I'll like be captivated and intrigued and entertained by it. But I haven't reached the point where I'm like, gotta put this on.
Let me ask you a question. When you know more about whether it's a football player, baseball player, basketball player, whatever, obviously you don't like basketball. But when you know more about a specific athlete that you know is about to perform, doesn't it make it more entertaining when you're watching them perform?
Absolutely.
So knowing that, why wouldn't you watch UFC Primetime? Knowing that you know you're going to watch the Diaz fight next week against
Roscoe.
I
had a lot of shit going on Friday night.
You just said you were flipping back and forth.
Yeah. I have a lot of stuff to watch.
Get the fuck out of here.
And don't get me wrong, I wasn't watching the garbage like Jersey Shore or anything like that. You know,
I don't think that's on Friday nights.
Because all their viewers are out fist pumping somewhere.
As they should be. As you were when you were 21.
Did they still refer to MTV? And no, I was not a fist pumper when I was 21.
No, but
do they still refer to MTV as music television?
Oh, here we go. One of the biggest cliche complaints from people in the world.
What?
No, everyone says that. I don't know.
I'm just asking you.
Yes, of course. What did they change it to? Movie television?
No, they should change it to moron TV.
Oh, I don't dispute that whatsoever. I'm over it. I was over it a long time ago. I stopped.
Did your sister watch that crap?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately.
Is she into that new show that they're rolling out?
Which one?
It's called Just Give Me My Pants Back or some shit.
I have not heard about that.
That's the name of the show. Just Give Me My Pants Back.
Well, if you didn't watch, or if you did watch last night, you were one of 4.37 million viewers who did. Slightly down the UFC show from last night.
Okay.
It was on Fox, like Channel 5 with the robots and the...
When are they going to get rid of the damn robots?
Yeah, a lot of these, a couple of the forums I post on, as far as MMA forums go, they go, if I see a fucking robot at a UFC show, and then, like, last night, it was like, the very first thing is they open it, all I could think of was, like, these fucking cunts complaining, like, hey, it's all robots. And why do they use football music when really Fox uses that for all their sporting events? But it's so cool. Yeah, that. It's so cool to watch UFC, and it's like, this is where we're at. I've been a UFC fan, or an MMA fan, since the early 90s.
So they used that music?
Last night, yeah.
For the MMA show?
For the UFC last night, yeah.
That's kind of wrong.
Why? They use it for baseball.
They do?
Yeah.
See, I don't watch regular season baseball, so. That's kind of odd. They should have a different theme song for.
It's pretty cool, sport. Though. See, to me, it's just like, this is where the UFC's at. This is what we're doing as MMA fans, and it's so awesome to see. Now, the three fights last night weren't great fights. They were all kind of, all three of them went to decision, and they were all kind of like, meh, but I'm happy that, you know, pretty decent ratings.
Huh? Dude, it's there. You know, there's no more talking about is a UFC mainstream. It's already there. It's on network television. You don't have to pay anything more than your, you know, cable fee to see it. Now, if you want to see the main events, like, you know, you still got to get your pay-per-view or go out to your local bar to see it. But it's,
but that's the way fighting should be. I mean, you know, I think it's pretty awesome that the UFC is putting out. Last time we got Rashad Evans and Phil Davis, that was supposed to main event in Philadelphia over the summer. That was a main event pay-per-view fight that I think Phil Davis got hurt. Rashad Evans ended up fighting Tito Ortiz that night. And now we got that on fucking free TV. How can anyone complain?
I'm not complaining. Here's the other thing with my whole sticking point with the UFC. How many fighters are there?
You figure. Well, it's the same. Okay, I know what you're getting at, and it's the same thing that I say to people who don't follow college football. They go, "Oh, well, there's too many teams." Listen, follow the top 25 teams and shut the fuck up. We don't live in an area in South Jersey where anyone, you know, you're going to be too strong of an allegiance to a team. Follow the top 25 and enjoy the fucking game. And as far as the UFC goes, follow the top 10 guys in each division. There's 7 divisions. I guarantee you can name 70 baseball players or 70 football players off the top of your head. You should be able to name the top 10 fighters in each division. You know?
I see your point, and I guess it's the whole difference. There's also the difference between individual sports and team sports.
Well, that's the other cool thing. Like, you know which fighters have what camp and who he trains with, and so then you associate one guy with another guy. You know what I mean? So, like, automatically, I hear Josh Koscheck, I go, oh, Cain Velasquez, he was training at Black House. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I need to start hanging out with you more when shit like that's on, so you can, like, actually educate me when it comes to, like, I don't know, you know, like, before a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know what was that movie showed me? A triangle chokehold or some shit?
The triangle choke?
Yes. Did not know what the fuck that was. If somebody did it, I wouldn't even know what was going on.
You'd like, be like, oh, he's got his legs on his head. Oh, look, he looks like a blowjob, like one of these, yeah, people.
No, not that retarded. But seriously, I feel like I'll use my ex-girlfriend, for example.
Okay.
Two exes ago. I'm not going to mention her name. I'll be nice. But she had no fucking clue when it came to football. And she didn't know what... You know what? There's actually a couple of people that I know that are like... She related this story. She was forced to watch the Patriots NFC Championship game against the Ravens. Or AFC Championship game. And she actually asked the question. Now, let me set up the stage. When you're watching a football game and they put, it's like first and however many, or first and 10 on the field, that little graphic. She asked, doesn't that confuse the players? Yeah, stupid question, right?
Absolutely.
And she didn't realize that it was a graphic that is only there for the television audience. That's what I feel like when it comes to MMA. Not so much on that grand of a scale, but I just don't have the knowledge there to fully appreciate the sport.
I have no problem explaining the sport. Honestly, it's probably my second favorite sport. Not probably. It is my second favorite sport. For me, it's basketball, MMA, in that order. And when basketball was in its current, its lockout, I was I don't want to say okay with it, but I was like, this is fine. I could deal with this. I was like, every weekend there's a big fight. You know, there's always something to watch. And that's the other thing I said to Tony last night. We're watching UFC on Fox. And I said, you know what? One of the big things for me is, I said, there's no off season. MMA never leaves me. It's always, okay, well, this fight just happened. What's going on in 2 weeks? What's going on? You know what I mean? So there's always something to look forward to. The NBA leaves me for a few months. Baseball leaves. Football is gone after this week for until fucking the end of summer.
This is true. But there's always that. There's always like a 2 week layoff between events, though. You gotta wait 2 weeks.
Well, the other side of that is, well, you're not spending $55 on pay-per-view every week. You know what I mean? At least it's, you get a couple weeks off before another awesome fight. And really, up until this UFC on Fox, the last 20 or so cards have been amazing. There hasn't been a bad card in about a year and a half up until last night. And last night wasn't even that bad. You still had three good fights. You know? So, they were a little dull. Yeah. And I have no problem admitting when a fight sucks. Mike knows. I go, yeah, that fight was very good. But usually UFC delivers, and that's one of the reasons why I just can't get enough of it. And then, so anyway, with that said, Nick Diaz, Carlos Condit next week. Holy fuck.
I want to see Nick Diaz get his ass beat.
See, if you watch UFC Primetime, you'd be like, oh, I kind of like Nick Diaz, but he didn't.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because people can view that in different ways. How many people? All right, let me give you this example. How many people?
Guys, just right now. I don't mean to cut you off. He is like Artie Lang at the microphone. Got a cigarette. He's got his Hoo Garden beer.
It's empty, by the way.
It is empty. He's like, he's trying to tell me something. Give me another fucking beer. go ahead.
But how many people, after watching, what was the thing that they did with the NFL, Hard Knocks, the Jets.
Okay.
Now, did you watch Hard Knocks with the Jets?
Yes, I did.
All right. How did you feel about the Jets after watching Hard Knocks?
Before, well, you, all right, I
after,
went into
no,
it.
Not before,
hold on. I went into it going, I like Mark Sanchez because I happen to be a USC fan, so I wanted to like him. So I went into that knowing that I'd probably like Mark Sanchez. I know how Rex Ryan is before he was a coach, and he's entertaining. To me, I like athletes who are fun to watch. They don't have to necessarily even be good. Be fun. Make me enjoy watching you. So, yeah, I watch it, and as a Dolphins fan, I liked him. But even as a Dolphins fan, there was never a Hard Knocks on the Patriots. I think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play.
Debatable. But
absolutely,
yeah.
Debatable. I don't dispute that in any way, shape, or form. But that's how little of a bias I have against teams in my own division. But
you and me are completely different in that regard.
Yeah, so what was your point?
No, my point is that after watching Hard Knocks, a couple of our friends, who shall remain nameless, they'll know who they are if they listen, but they wound up becoming Jets fans because of Hard Knocks. Whereas I've talked to other people, and after watching Hard Knocks, oh, these guys are a bunch of fucking assholes, blowhards and the like. So, I mean, you can take...
I think the people who didn't like it are a little sensitive to shit-talking, and I happen to know the two people you're talking about who ended up liking them, and I don't think they've ever played a sport before in their lives. But I think if you play sports and you know what goes into competing, it was funny. I was just balling at Stockton on Thursday, and I ended up getting into it with this kid. I'm fucking hitting floaters in his face. I'm telling him to shut the fuck up. I said, get off the court. I'm talking shit. And that's how sports are. And I don't think if you've ever performed or played, I think you kind of get that because you're going to... I usually don't start, but once someone says something to me, I don't shut up.
So now, as far as the Jets are concerned, they talk all that shit, and they don't back it up.
They did back it up until this year. They did.
Well, how many years has Rex Ryan guaranteed a Super Bowl? Three?
So...
how many rings do they have?
So, would you rather him say, yeah, we suck, I don't come to our games?
No,
we're going to the Super Bowl, and if we lose, we lose. It is what it is.
He doesn't have to say that,
though. I expect a Super Bowl.
He can say he expects a Super Bowl. He doesn't have to say he guarantees it. There's two different ways of saying it. There's a way you can say, "Oh, our team is all in 100% trying to win a Super Bowl this year. It's our main goal. It's what we expect to accomplish." Instead of going out and saying, "I guarantee the Jets will win the Super Bowl this year," because then when they don't do it, he looks like a complete ass.
I think I totally get where LaDainian Tomlinson is coming from, saying that, "Oh, that was a completely dysfunctional locker room." Totally get it. Totally see it. On the other hand, I think if I was a player, I would want my coach to be out there talking shit. Yeah, we're the fucking best. We're going to go pop you in the mouth. And it is what it is. If we lose, we lose. I don't think it changes anything.
Do you want him acting that way in the locker room? Or do you want him to act that way to the media? Because there's two different ways to go about it. You can have that bravado in the locker room, and that's great. That's fine. That's what you want in the locker room. But you don't necessarily want to broadcast that for the entire nation to hear. Because then when you don't back it up with a performance on the field, you look stupid.
I agree. No, it sucks because I always end up sticking up for guys, and it's like... and then when they go down, it's like, oh, well, now what do you have to say? It's like I end up like having to speak for them. My thing is this. Rex Ryan, how the fuck do I put this? He's a good coach. I don't think he's even a great coach. I think he has to talk to pump himself up. I think that's how he gets himself going. And I think up until this year, his team was loving that. Obviously, they didn't have a very good year. Their GM, Mike Tannenbaum, is not a very good GM. They traded a... look, I never thought Santonio Holmes... Mark Sanchez hasn't had a true weapon his entire career. And you could say whatever the fuck you want about Santonio Holmes. The guy had one good game in the Super Bowl with the Steelers, an okay season that year. He's come to New York. He's been okay. But he's not like a high end. He's not a fucking A.J. Green, Roddy White, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald guy. Would you ever put him in that league?
Absolutely not.
So what weapons does Mark Sanchez have?
Well, their main weapons are on defense. He doesn't have any.
He doesn't have any. So when people sit there and say, I know we're getting off subject, but when people say, oh, Sanchez is overrated, the guy hasn't had a legit, like, offensive skill player on his offense his entire career. Not one. Not even a running back.
So what you're saying, Mark Sanchez is kind of like Donovan McNabb.
That's why, you asked me about Peyton Manning earlier. And I'd rather see Peyton Manning go to the Jets and the Dolphins go out and get Mark Sanchez. At least we got Brandon Marshall sitting there waiting for him.
This is true. Now you.
And then I'm down with him being our quarterback for the next 10 years. I'm 100% in. Bring Sanchez to the Dolphins, I'm in. Now, strap me in.
Let me
put me down. I'm down.
Let me throw this concept your way. You say Mark Sanchez hasn't had a real weapon, all right? Who was Wes Welker before he went to the Patriots? He was a 60-catch-a-year guy with the Dolphins. Nobody knew who the hell he was.
You know, I knew who he was because I'm a Dolphins fan.
Well, yeah.
Now, with that said, that's why I think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever live. The greatest receiver of all time. Go ahead.
Jerry Rice played with Joe Montana.
Not even disputable. Everyone agrees Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver of all time.
If you don't say Jerry Rice, you need your head examined.
I've never heard anyone not say Jerry Rice. So
who's number two, though?
Randy Moss?
Really?
That's what I said. That's what I said. And I think I had this argument with Tony. And he was saying, yeah, Randy Moss. He's like, go look at the numbers. I was like, but there's got to be someone better. I'm like, Chris Carter, Herman Moore, Andre Reed. Someone's got to be number two. He's like, no, it's Randy Moss. I'm like, huh? Go look it up. Let's see what we got here.
I'm saying talk.
Really, Randy Moss? I mean, after all that crap that went down in New England? I mean...
What really went down, though? I mean, he wasn't...
He had, like, one great year.
In New England, but how about the years he was in Minnesota? And he made Dante Culpepper look fucking amazing, and I was excited when we got Dante Culpepper.
This is true.
And who was that?
This is true.
You know, who do you really put that on? You put that on Moss, or you put that on Culpepper? I give the credit to Moss at this point.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about T.O.?
You know how I feel. They don't. I love T.O. I totally think the Eagles fucked up their entire future. They could have had Donovan McNabb and T.O. for another 2 or 3 years, and I think they could have won a Super Bowl. Instead, they go, peace out, T.O., you're gone. We'll give them away to Brian Westbrook. Good running back. Not great. Good.
Oh, Westbrook was at that point where he was certainly on the downward track.
That too. He's on the downward track, and now McNabb's ended up with nothing to throw to.
The one thing that the Eagles have been very good at now, Eagles and being good at things are not usually synonymous, but the only time I think they've really whiffed when it comes to just letting a player go because they don't think they have anything left would be Brian Dawkins. They really could have used him on the team this year.
Oh, I agree. So I'm just looking up some articles about second best receiver. If you just Google second best receiver, the first person that comes up into Google is Randy Moss. And it sounds weird.
It does.
It's weird to think that we just watched the second best receiver ever
complete his career.
Complete his career. And nobody, like, I feel like nobody gives this guy the credit. Ever. Including me. But then when you sit down and you look at it...
I mean, what kind of numbers does he have? Do you have that up?
I don't have any actual numbers. Let's see what we got here.
What teams did he spend time with? He was with Minnesota.
New England, Oakland.
And then he went back to Minnesota, and then he went to Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was that one season where he was with three teams, right?
Yeah, the writer goes, if my child were a Randy Moss fan, I would tell him there is a difference between the man and the athlete, and that you can appreciate his contribution on the field without necessarily emulating his behavior off the field.
Because let's be honest, he was an asshole.
I'll never forget when he mooned the fans. Remember that?
Mooning? God. Please.
That was so awesome. You got upset about it.
No. I thought you were going to point out the whole fact that, you know, who was it? Chris Collinsworth or was it Al Michaels that made a big deal about it? Said it was a travesty or something.
Well, grow up.
I thought it was great.
Professional sports, I get that they're supposed to be role models. Look, they're professional athletes. You don't get to being a professional athlete without talking a ton of shit, being incredibly confident with what you do.
You have to be confident.
You have to be confident, especially to get to that point.
You got to be confident in anything you do. If you show any kind of lack of confidence,
especially in sports, because you'll be exposed like that. Under this article, the funniest thing is, the very first thing it says is, top five reasons the Miami Dolphins should sign Brett Favre.
When?
What do you mean when?
When was this article written?
It looks like the end of the summer.
Of last summer? Oh, so it would have
been
this
season.
Year.
Yeah, that would have sucked if we would have signed Brett Favre. Oh my God, can you imagine?
It would have sucked for everybody in general. I mean, everybody just by the end of that whole thing wanted just Brett Favre to get the fuck out.
Me more? It would have sucked so much for me.
Wait, who was the dumbass that wanted to sign Brett Favre?
I already closed. Oh, actually, no, I didn't. I'll tell you who the article was written by. It was a Yahoo Sports writer. And hopefully my Wi-Fi doesn't take too long. Okay. Charles Joel. Never heard of him.
But, can we email him?
Can we email him?
Everybody email this guy. Tell him he's a freaking moron for
wanting all three of you listening.
Yeah, me, Steve, and... somebody else.
What other person? Yeah, that would have been awful. I did not want to deal with that.
I totally agree. That would have been awful for everybody involved. I would have felt terrible for Dolphins fans. I mean, having to put up with Brett Favre. I mean, come on.
So, one thing I'm seeing, I know you said you're not a huge MMA fan, but you heard GSP Zaff for about a year, right? I'm sure you heard about that.
No.
Well, he had torn ACL in his knee. So
the practice?
From, yeah, training camp. That's why this week is a interim title with Nick Diaz and Carlos Condit. Some people I'm seeing are complaining about the concept of interim titles. So pretty much what's going to happen is Nick Diaz and Carlos Condit are going to fight next weekend for the interim welterweight championship. So some people are like, oh, well, it's silly. Why even have an interim title?
Because a guy's in the peak of his career and he's ready to contend for a title, can't do it because the current title holder is injured? That's complete bullshit.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's where I stand, too. But what's the negative of having an interim champion? You could still keep your title going for the next 10 months as opposed to not having a title for the next year.
Exactly. It's more dollars you can bring into the sport for having title fights and the like. And then once, you know, the legitimate, or what you will, whatever you want to call him, champion is healthy, you take the interim champion and him and you have a fight. And then
how great, you know, if we were going to get Nick Diaz GSP anyway, that was, you know, then GSP went down, so now Carlos Condit slides in.
It's kind of like having a perpetual competition to see who's going to have the opportunity to have a title fight once he's ready, but instead of calling them
the number one contender,
he's the interim champion. What's the difference?
No, absolutely, totally agree. And it's another thing a fighter could put on their resume, too. You know, going forward, it's, hey, let's say Carlos Condit wins this fight, then loses his next six, gets fired from the UFC, and goes to Bellator. Well, at least on his resume, you could say, look, I was an interim UFC champion at one time, you know? And to see more fighters getting paid, I'm all for it. I'm all for the sport growing in any way, shape, or form. So if this helps the sport grow, fucking do it.
Dude, yeah, you know, speaking of the sport growing, aren't you involved in a little tournament yourself?
Yeah, I really wasn't even going to get into that. A little Coast Guard tournament, 145. Second round armbar. What's up?
You know what I mean? The only submission of the day, yes?
Yeah, it was. All the other fights ended in either decision or first round knockout. So
I know you're pretty pumped up about that. I hope you make it to the finals so I can actually go and watch.
I hope I make it to the finals too, because if I don't make it to the finals, that means I got hurt in some way. I don't want to get hurt.
I'm not necessarily. It could be one of those other fights that just ends in a decision.
Or a quick first round submission. You know, I get caught in a guillotine, I guess.
Yeah, that wouldn't, really hurt you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's another way for me not to get hurt and lose.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to get hurt. That's my whole motivation. Now it's like, yeah, you know, it was fun in the beginning. Now it's, don't get your fucking ass kicked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't feel like getting my fucking ass kicked.
You know, to be quite honest with you, I was kind of expecting to see some cuts on your face or some bruising.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I think Tony said the same thing. He's like, so what's the biggest bruise you got? I was like, there wasn't any striking. It was actually a pretty painless fight.
Except for him.
Well, I didn't really do too much damage. I caught him in an armbar. He tapped out in the second round. I didn't
He caught him with a leg kick, no?
Oh, yeah, but you get over a leg kick in about an hour.
Yeah, but you got to have a little bit of bruising there, no?
I didn't notice any. I didn't care about how he was. I didn't
give
shits about the guy.
So you guys keeping in touch?
No, not at all. The guy was talking shit.
Is this guy you've seen before? Or
I saw him once before. Before we knew we were fighting, I go, have you ever fought before or done any kind of training? He goes, well, I had a couple fights in high school. So I was like, all right, you know.
Oh, in other words, like playground fights.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was kind of happy about that because he was a small guy.
Have you seen him since?
No, I only had drill that weekend. So, and then the next Sunday I went back to Philadelphia and did Coast Guard stuff. So I didn't really see him.
I mean, is he at the same base as you? Do you anticipate to see him again?
I don't. The only reason why I really even saw him the first time is because I guess he was working out in the gym at the base, and I just happened to be drilling that weekend, so he went over there, and somebody was like, oh, shit, you two are fighting in the tournament. And then we talked, and then they were like, oh, wait, let me go look at the brackets. And they're like, oh, you two are actually fighting each other. So I got information out of them that I probably shouldn't have had before the fight, so I know a little more about the kid, you know? You know, it worked out for me, I guess, because the kid is small. He's Danny. He's Danny size, but he's white.
Give how tall was he? Like
about 5'3".
Okay, so he's like 5'3", 130-something pounds.
145. He had to gain weight to get to the 145. What's funny is right now our friend Danny is locked in the garage.
Is he still in there?
I haven't talked to him since 2 hours ago, but...
Dude, hold on. You should call him up and put him on speaker. See if he's still locked in his garage.
Let's not get into that. We'll make fun of him next week, though.
When he's here, we'll give him shit for being locked in the garage.
Definitely.
You know, I've actually gotten locked in the garage myself, but I was able to get out.
Because I got out.
No, I got out.
That's how I'm here today.
I got out.
I escaped.
I got out on my own. No, he got stuck. He's stuck in the garage because, one of those doors that if it's locked, you can still open it from the inside.
I guess.
See, our garage is like that as well, and you can if the door is locked, you can open it from the inside, but it doesn't unlock the door. So as soon as you close it, it's locked from the outside. So, you know, I wake up, I go out to get something to drink out of the fridge in the garage, and I don't have any keys on me, and I forget that the door is locked. But you know, our garage door works on a consistent basis, unlike Danny's. So I just opened the garage and, you know, got the Heidi key and opened the door, and I was able to get back in the house. No big deal.
Yeah, the thing is, when you go from the garage into his house, the door automatically closes. It's like on a spring, so it closes automatically. Like, I'll never forget the first time I met his dad. I'm sitting there in my car, and he goes, do you want to come in? I go, okay. So he leads me into the house through the garage, and to me, he just opened the door, and he looked like he slammed the door in my face. I was like, oh, well, I guess he doesn't want me to come in. I'm like, oh, I guess, you know, it's like an ancient Chinese secret or something that, yeah, to me, it looked like he slammed the door. And then Danny goes, no, the door. No, first Danny played it off like, yeah, he was probably trying to lock you out. He didn't want you to come in. Then the next time he opened the door, I noticed that it's on the spring and it automatically closes. I was like, he wasn't slamming the door in my face.
Now, did they
happen?
Do they want you to take your shoes off in the house?
Yeah, I'm used to that. My ex girlfriend was Asian, and let's not talk.
And then Asian Steve is like that too, though.
Yeah, he is actually. We go over there to play some.
I don't think I've ever been over to an Oriental person's house where I didn't have to take my shoes off.
Except for when you go to Pedro's house, you want to keep your shoes on.
No, but the funny part is, you know what? People are probably sitting there. It's like, but Pedro's probably Mexican.
Oh, yeah, no, Filipino, right? But...
He's got a Mexican name.
Yeah. You definitely want to keep your shoes on. If you ever go to a Filipino guy's ass, his name's Pedro, keep your shoes on. Don't take them off, no matter what he says to you.
Has he ever actually asked you to take your shoes off?
No.
Me either.
Yeah. Well, I think he understands.
And don't go in Rob's room either.
Definitely don't go in Rob's room. You might catch something. Like, you go in there, you're like, I just got an STD check last week. I'm clean bill of health. You come out of there, you got fucking herpes and hepatitis.
God forbid you touch anything.
Well. Yeah, that's not good.
It'd be funny if they wind up listening to this.
It's nothing we haven't said to their face.
No, it's not. It's not. But
it's
now,
nothing they don't know.
This is true. You know, it's funny because you would think that Rob would do something about it.
What, you mean like not be dirty?
Like do his laundry every once in a while?
Oh my god. Dude, just the smell in that room. holy shit.
It's like you can cut it with a knife.
So, no, Rob is your typical friend who goes out, fucks anything you know, and we probably should have changed his name, but we did it, and now it's out there.
There's tons of people named Rob.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, he's the typical friend who goes out, fucks everyone. He does the tobacco dipping thing. He's always got a bottle. It smells. Really nice guy. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet, but a dirtbag.
And I'll be more specific than that. If you meet him out somewhere, you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't know that. Because he's a clean-cut kind of guy. Doesn't actually stink himself, but his room just reeks. You know what I mean?
No, for sure, definitely. And, and Pedro is... How do you describe him? He's cautiously optimistic, but he's always optimistic, but I don't know. Why are we giving them a history lesson on these two?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Pay. I just wanted them to kind of have an idea of who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, now we got Anderson Silva, Chael Sonnen to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Holy shit. The amount of shit Chael Sonnen talked about Brazil, and it's going to be at a stadium in Brazil, a soccer stadium, hold over 100,000 people. And Chael Sonnen's going in there, and the way he says it, he's going to take the title from Anderson Silva. To me, Anderson Silva's the greatest fighter maybe to ever live. Mm. And to think, you know, Chael's, you saw the first fight or no?
You know, I don't remember. I don't know. I've seen a bunch of fights.
I think if you saw it, you would definitely remember it because of how big of a deal it was.
How did it end?
It ended with a triangle choke from Anderson Silva in the fifth round after he got his ass kicked for the first 4.5.
I vaguely remember that. How long ago was that?
It wasn't last summer. It was the summer before.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. Excuse me. I was thirsty. I had to drink something. But,
You could have taken the mic away from your face.
Well, you weren't saying anything, and I knew I was going to have to go back.
So we were going to fill it with slurping noises.
Hey, whatever fills the air. I don't want any silence.
Don't let him lie to you guys. He was really, doing something else with his mouth.
What's it say about you that you're sitting right next to me recording this while I'm doing something like that? What's it say about you, Mike?
Absolutely nothing, Steve.
It says nothing about you?
Nope. I'm not really quite sure what you're trying to say.
You said I was... What just happened?
We're getting off topic.
Well, you know, that's easy.
It's always easy to get off topic. Let's get back on it. What were we talking? We were talking about Anderson Silva and...
Chael Sonnen?
Yes. Thank you for saying his name, because I was going to butcher it.
Go ahead, try it.
No.
You can't say it now. I just said it.
Chael Sonnen.
Close enough. No, he went to Oregon. It's going to be an amazing fight. The atmosphere... We saw the last fight in Brazil just, 2 weeks ago with Jose Aldo and Chad Mendes. Aldo went running into the crowd after he won. One of the greatest sports moments I've ever seen.
If I wasn't absolutely terrified of going to Brazil and being caught up in something like, you know, human trafficking.
Oh, stop.
I would love to go watch an event in Brazil. I don't care what it is. It could be soccer, MMA, anything. These people down there are crazy.
I think you're living like 10 years ago. No, so Brazil's got the 7th largest economy, the fastest growing middle class in the world, crime is down.
I think you're missing my point, though. I'm just, you know, generally speaking, that was pretty bad.
I think my knee feels. Sorry for all the listeners. I just put my knee up.
No, generally speaking, every country's got its good parts and its bad parts. Do you disagree?
How could I disagree with that? Yeah, you could say that about America.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. You find yourself in the wrong part of Brazil, and you're not going to want to be there.
I could say that about any country in the world, though. No, so I don't know.
My point is, you live in Brazil, you can pretty much go anywhere you want, for the most part. If you're American, you got to kind of stay on the beaten path. You can't really go off the beaten path in Brazil.
No, that's true. I'm not arguing with that point, but you could say that about if you fly into New York and you end up on the wrong street in New York, or if you fly into Philadelphia and you end up like where all the cops are getting capped. You know what I mean? So you could say that about any, you know, going to a Phillies game and, oh shit, now I'm lost in South Philly. I'm dead. You know what I mean? So you could say that about anywhere in the world.
Yeah, but we're
so
also...
So to narrow it down to Brazil, because they used to have a reputation of kidnapping, but things have changed, so they don't really have that reputation anymore, the people who really follow the news.
I don't watch the news at all.
So...
Yeah, I get my news from the internet. Yeah, speaking of internet news, did you hear about this lady that's suing this kid?
Vaguely? All right. Go ahead.
I'll tell you the story. It's kind of a delicate topic. Now, this kid's trying to cross the train tracks in order to get to another platform so he can catch his train. But this train that he's trying to beat is doing 70 miles an hour. So he misjudges the distance and the speed. Kid winds up getting clobbered, and parts of his body are sent flying onto a nearby platform where this woman is standing. She gets hit with a sizable chunk, as the website put it, of his body, and she fell and broke her leg and her wrist, and now she's going to be suing the dead teen's estate for compensation, you know, for, like, you know, medical expenses and all that. Now, this is actually posted on my, one of my friends posted this on Facebook, and everybody's just, like, absolutely blasting this lady, because they're like, dude, he's dead, isn't that good enough? Well, I mean, what do you think about that?
She's not suing them to punish... Like, they're saying, he's dead, isn't that good enough? She's not suing them because she wants to punish him. She's suing him to get some fucking money.
And you know, they weren't really clear as to how much she was suing for. Now, see, now, there's a little bit of a gray area here. Because if I were in her shoes, I would just want my medical bills covered. I'm not going to, like, try and get anything extra out of the deal. She shouldn't. She shouldn't get anything extra out of the deal. She should get just enough to cover whatever copay she has for her emergency room visit and whatever prescriptions she was prescribed for pain and all that. Now, if she goes beyond that and tries to sue him for like $3 million, that's taking it way too far.
You really have a problem with that?
Yes. Are you kidding me? No, first of all, the kid's estate probably doesn't have that kind of money.
All I know is some random dead body shit fell on me. That alone is traumatic as hell. Pay me.
How much? How do you quantify that?
However much, to me, in that situation, go get your money. I don't think it's the same thing as a guy who had the Winnebago and he ended up putting it on cruise control. He crashed and he ends up suing him and winning. That is fucking ridiculous.
That is pretty ridiculous. But, you know, I mean...
Now, that's totally different than...
That is totally different. It's totally different. But in this case, where's the money going to come from? How much do you really think
well,
this
kid
has?
You said the estate. I don't know. What you mean by that?
It's basically... the money comes from his net worth, meaning whatever money he has saved in the bank... Plus whatever money can be gotten from selling his possessions.
Did the guy have kids? I mean, is his kids losing that on like money they need?
I don't think he had any kids. I think he was a kid himself. So you're talking about if you're suing his estate, then you might be talking about calling his parents into question and costing them personal assets and money because of his stupidity.
Well, if that's the case, you shouldn't have had such a stupid kid.
Way to put a blanket statement on him, Steve. No, but I mean, really, I mean, that's kind of wrong. I feel like she should be entitled to just need to have her medical expenses covered and be done with it. She shouldn't profit off of, you know, the tragic end that he met. I mean, come on. How can you possibly support something like that.
No, definitely no. You fucking have bodies and bloody dicks thrown at your face. I'm suing them and getting paid for it. It is what it is, dude. You get random bodies. Think about it like this, Mike. You're walking along in the street, going to work. Next thing you know, a bloody penis hits you in the face. Are you serious? You're not going to... You don't want money? And now my sister comes in with Gizmo in an Eli jersey. Gizmo
being
the dog.
Jersey? No, it's just a 0-0 jersey.
I saw a 0 at the end. I figured it was a 1-0. He's ready for next week.
That's
Mike's
going to
be wearing a similar jersey next week because he lost a bet.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm going to wear your Eli jersey. And I'm going to make sure I eat really sloppy food. No, but I mean, that's an extreme example.
What? Getting hit in the face with a bloody dick?
Yes. Has that ever happened in the history of human beings?
I didn't know this happened until 5 minutes ago, so...
That's a little bit more plausible than getting hit with a bloody dick.
You never know when a bloody dick hits you in the face. You never know when that's going to happen. You never know.
Like
you
if I was
never prepare, like if I was never prepare for a bloody dick.
Like if I was walking down the street at the precise time that Lorena Bobbitt threw his husband's dick out
boom.
The window.
Boom! Next thing you know, boom!
But that
it's
was
in your nose.
That was wrapped up in plastic.
I didn't even know.
See, now, I mean, come on, you're using a way too extreme example. Would I want to get paid? Sure. Would there be any grounds for me to sue him? If there wasn't any bodily injury, probably not.
No, you can still sue him.
For what?
You don't need a reason to sue.
That's exactly
country.
What's wrong with this country.
There's a lot wrong with this country.
Oh, there's plenty wrong with it.
I said there's a lie. I wasn't.
Oh, there's plenty, and that's one of them. This whole. You know, I'm going to sue you for whatever the hell I want culture.
You don't know how she felt there? How old was this woman?
Don't know. I think she was middle-aged, like 40s or 50s.
Can you imagine? That's your mom walking around getting hit by body parts. That's essentially what that is. Now, wouldn't your mom be a little horrified? I know your mom. I know she'd be like, what the fuck just happened?
Of course.
And my mom would be like, ah, it's the terrorists. You know, like... It's
oh,
gotta be the Muslims. I know they're behind this.
All right, so let's just pretend for a second that I agree with you. Where's the money come from?
That's not for her to worry about. Is that her concern at all?
It should be if she's got a conscience.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like.
Now, obviously, if it's going to suck the kid's estate dry, the next place they're going to go is next of kin, which would be his parents. His parents had nothing to do with the kid's actions. Why should they be punished for it?
How old was this kid? Do we know?
Let me look up the article.
I actually
have it bookmarked because I read it and I do a radio show, FuriousRadio.com, and I actually talked about it on
he
there.
He promotes the radio show, but he won't promote this on his radio show.
This kid was 18 years old. Parents are absolved. If the kid's estate doesn't have...
When you were 18, were you ready to be absolved from your parents?
No, but legally I was.
That's how I asked you. Were you ready? I know when I was 18.
No, of course
I was
not.
A fucking
nobody
idiot.
In this day and age... Is ready at 18, unless you're like Mark Zuckerberg. All right,
and even him, though, he did some pretty shady things, and things I'm sure 10 years from what happened, he would regret. Right?
Right.
So with that said, I don't think 18... Look, one of the craziest things in this country is you can go die for your country at 18, but you can have a fucking beer.
That's another discussion for another day.
Why? You could discuss it right now. Why? That's insane.
That's the exact reasoning behind why they changed it a while back and made
changed
it 18.
What?
The drinking age at one time in this country was 18 for that
exact
reason.
And went back to 21 because why?
Why? Because Americans don't know how to handle things like alcohol. You know, the education isn't there. And the whole reason for, like, you know, binge drinking and kids getting absolutely hammered and wasted on college campuses across the country is because America has put this taboo on drinking. You know, what do you want to do more? The thing that you're, you know, the thing that your parents are okay with, or the thing that your parents say that you can't do because you just can't do it?
No, obviously there's something in us, innate in us, that when you're told not to do something, what the fuck? Now I gotta do it.
Exactly, it must be
and
something
it's,
great.
Like, I'm almost 30 years old, and I'm still like that today. You know, and it's not like a lot of people try and minimize and say, "Well, you're just being rebellious for the sake of being rebellious." I really don't think it's that. I think it's, oh, I want to explore and see what this is. Why are they saying no to this? I want to understand. It's the same thing. It's like, when people go, oh, don't look down when you're high, when you're like at the high point of a roller coaster.
If somebody says, oh, don't look down, what's the first thing they do? They
look down.
Look down.
Why? Because you want to see what the fuck's down there. They must be telling me not to look down for a reason. Something cool has to be down there. And now you're fucking shook, and now you're scared and panicking like
and
I
that's
am.
Why they're telling you not to look down, because you,
they
get,
don't want
you,
you
get,
to react
get vertigo
that way.
And right. Get dizzy and all that.
I agree. But there's... You're always going to do that. And that's the easiest example in the world. Don't look down, and you always look down. Hey, don't touch that pan. It's hot. Oh, I had to see for myself. Ow, it was hot. I had to see for myself.
Yeah, and you're completely right. So, I mean, like, as far as drinking is concerned, I mean, yes, I agree. There should be some sort of age on alcohol consumption. But at the same time, I think that it should be something that should be... Kids should be educated about from an early age.
Educated about don't be a fucking douchebag when you're drunk. You know who? You know what? The only country has that has douchebags when they're drunk.
Ireland.
America.
Not Ireland.
Because, no, Ireland. Everyone's the same way in Ireland. They all go out, have fun, get fucked up, sing a crazy drinking song, and that's the end of it. America, because we put so much importance on. You gotta be 21 to drink, and then when you finally turn 21, you're gonna go out and get fucking rich, right? Whereas if you're in Italy, Spain, any of these other countries, it's
no big deal.
You're having a glass of wine at lunch. Guess what? Everybody in the country does it. Everybody in the rest of the world does it. And it's, you know, this country has a lot of silly things. You look at Australia, they made prostitution legal in the entire country like 4 years ago. Since then, their rape... I don't know what the exact numbers are. Don't quote me on this. But their rape percentage, with that, let's say it was like 15% of their crimes were rapes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's at like 0.3%. You know why? Because when everyone get fucking laid, you go out to a brothel and you get fucking laid.
Hallelujah.
And the country, guess what? The country gets to make money off it and tax the shit out of it. I mean, how dumb are we as a people that we put so much... What's the word? We put so much...
Emphasis
on... Oh, let's be honest. It's the fucking crazy right wing, Rick Santorum. Did you see what he said to this poor woman? Oh my God.
No, what are you talking about?
This woman, her son is graduating from Georgetown Law. He's gay. She's at a rally, and she was there in support of this guy. And she goes, well, my son's gay. Why can't he adopt? He goes, well, that's because... Every kid deserves a mother and a father. You know how many people I know that are fucked up and their parents are still together?
Yeah, there's plenty of them.
Okay, so what the fuck is the difference?
It's like if everybody deserves a mother and a father, what about the kids that don't have a father because he's a deadbeat?
Where he's in you know.
Or they don't have a mother because she's a junkie.
Or she's in jail, or she's dead. Or maybe they got into a car accident.
That's a ridiculous statement.
So no one should be allowed to be a single father, is essentially what he's saying, or a single mother.
So, yeah, so if the marriage breaks up or they split apart and they're
put him in foster home until he gets adopted by a mom and a dad that aren't his own.
Yeah, and who aren't gay.
We're gay? Yeah, are you serious? Yo, I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of gay people. The amount of gay people I know who are better people than the straight people I know, it's insane. They're just better people. What, because they can do that to another guy? I can't do it. But I have no problem with what they do. And the craziest thing is, I always hear, well, it's unnatural. Let's say 3% of the human population is gay. If you take every breed of animal, do you realize 3% of my cat, Siamese cats, are gay? Did you know that?
No.
So whatever the equal percentage is in a human population that's homosexual, it's the exact same thing for every fucking animal in the earth. How does that happen if it's not natural? It is what it is. Some people
Where'd you hear that from?
It's online. Where'd I hear that from? I don't know. You want me to find it?
Is it from a reputable source?
Yes. I wouldn't know.
All right, then we can leave it at that. Reputable source. You heard it here first, folks.
No, actually, I mean, you know, if you've listened to other podcasts, I think you would have heard this before. So, and if you listen to our podcast, that must mean you listen to other podcasts
Does that mean if a male dog humps a guy's leg, it means the dog's gay?
No, that's not what it... That is
well,
not
no, I,
necessarily
I, no,
what I'm
no,
saying.
No, I know.
I think when you were young, you were humping everything in your house. I'm sure. You were humping, like, you were one of those kids that would walk by a lamp. Ooh, I'm hard, and you're home alone, and you're humping lamps.
I didn't hump any lamps.
There's a great comedian. I think it's Louis C.K. He goes, if, you know, to the parents who are at, he goes, if you have kids at home and they're like 12 or 13, be sure they're at home fucking your entire house. he goes, get your lamp. Yeah, getting humped right now as we speak. It's getting fucked. <He's>
Oh, that's funny. You know.
So, I don't think just because the dog's. Is humping a guy's leg.
Well,
necessarily
the whole humping thing for dogs is a dominance thing.
So do a lot of dogs hump your leg?
No.
So they're pretty.
Damn straight they are. No, that when a dog humps your leg, it's them exerting their dominance over you.
So that's what I'm saying. They won't hump you.
No.
Damn.
Mm-mm.
Fuck. Weird.
Why, you get humped by dogs a lot, Steve?
Yeah.
Steve's kind of a submissive kind of guy.
Yeah, apparently. Jesus. Yeah, I didn't know. No, I've never been humped. I've been pissed on quite a few times, but never humped.
Steve likes the golden showers.
I don't like it. I freak out and panic. I end up like a gay guy. I freak out.
Yeah.
We did make a prediction for the Super Bowl already, right? All right, so...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I thought so. So, what was I going to say? That's the wrong page. Dead time, dead time, dead air, dead air.
Yeah. Play little taps?
So, what was... Something else from that. I can't read my handwriting. Oh, so we didn't even get into. So anyway, I'm a Laker fan, and we didn't even get into this. It's scary.
How do you feel about possibly? Is it a definite thing?
No, it's not definite. It seems like it's being rumored, but it's being discussed. Idea of the thought is horrifying. All right. I'll let Mike introduce the story.
So I mean, if you guys don't follow the NBA, the Lakers coach prior to the season.
GM.
No. Let me run with it. Prior to the season,
my fault.
The Lakers coach quit. They had to go out and get another one. Or he retired, I should say. And now there's a story saying that potentially their GM could follow suit. So, I mean, we're talking about the crux of the organization here. The GM and the coach are like the two most important pieces. You know, aside from stars, everybody knows you need a star in the NBA to win titles. But aside from having a star
in every sport, please.
Huh?
I see you need a star in every sport.
Well, this is true, but it's not as important in every sport as it is with the NBA.
Hey, do the Cardinals win the World Series without Albert Pujols?
Do they?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. He went off, bro. He went off.
But so did the rest of the team.
Yeah, I agree, but Albert Pujols was Albert Pujols.
Yeah, but you can't sit here and tell me that a star isn't more important in any other sport aside from the NBA.
I think they're just equally as important. Look at the Giants when they won the World Series. Tim Lincecum was a fucking beast.
But he only played two games.
I agree. So was Buster Posey.
Well, I mean,
the rookie of the year that year.
Well, I mean, let's just say, yeah, he's great in the two games he wins. They still have to win two more games where he's not even playing.
And who won the Super Bowl last year? Oh, Aaron Rodgers isn't a star? I don't mean to cut you off and change the subject, but I always hear that argument, and it's pretty annoying, is that basketball, you need a star. What fucking sport don't you need a star? I can't think of one. The last team that I can think of that hasn't had a star was actually a basketball team that won a championship without having a star.
I understand.
And that was the 04 Pistons. And they didn't have a star.
I understand where you're coming from, but
that minimizes the rest of the league, I think.
Let me put it to you this way. Maybe I was going about it the wrong way. A star in the NBA is more important because the ratio of stars to regular players in the NBA is so minuscule compared to the rest of the sports. There are
less... It depends how you define a star. Because I could probably go to every team and go, that guy's a fucking star. That guy's a fucking man. That guy's a beast. I could probably do that with more than half of the teams in the league.
All right.
And here's the other thing.
All right. Well, then where is the line drawn between star and superstar?
I'll say
a name. You tell me if they're a star or a superstar.
Let's do it.
Kobe Bryant.
Superstar.
Obviously. Shaquille O'Neal when he was still in the league.
When? It was at the end of the league?
Two years ago.
2 years ago? He wasn't even a star.
5 years ago.
Superstar. No, a star. He really wasn't the best player on that team in 06.
The second year he was with the Lakers with Kobe.
Superstar.
All right. LeBron James.
Superstar.
Yeah, that didn't feel good, did it?
Yeah, man.
D. Wade.
Superstar.
Chris Bosh.
I think he's incredibly underrated, but he's a star.
Kevin Garnett.
When?
5 years ago.
Superstar.
Paul Pierce.
When?
2 years ago.
Superstar.
Chris Paul.
Superstar.
Andre Iguodala.
Star.
So who's the superstar on the Sixers?
They don't have one.
And they're not going to win a championship.
I see what you did there. But I don't think the Sixers need a superstar per se. I think
the way they're playing right now, I don't think you can really hope for anything more than a second round out of them.
Okay. I'll put it to you like this right now. You take Rudy Gay off the Grizzlies and you put him on that Sixer team. Rudy Gay by no means is a superstar, but he's a prolific fucking scorer. You cannot stop that man from scoring.
And who's to say if he went to the Sixers, he wouldn't become a superstar?
That's a great point too, but I think if you put a guy like Rudy Gay on the Sixers, automatically that's a championship team. Automatically.
What do you think about Drew Holiday?
You've never even heard of Rudy Gay.
No,
I haven't.
No.
Okay.
How about Drew? What do you think about Drew Holiday? Is he a star, superstar in the making?
Maybe in the making. I like Drew Holiday. I love him. I like him a lot more than Lou Williams. I think Lou Williams is a fucking bum.
Oh, you know a lot more about the NBA than I do.
I haven't really watched him too much this year, but from what I saw him the last couple of years.
Are you going to any of the? Are you going to any Sixer Laker games this year?
I think so. There's only one in Philly, so.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Only one.
Yeah, it's only one every year.
And you know. Are you kind of? I would. You're kind of bummed that now the Sixers are starting to get popular again, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I like hearing basketball. Look, it's the same way with MMA. I like hearing basketball. I want, if it was up to me and I was a producer at SportsCenter, it'd be all basketball and all MMA with a little football sprinkled in. That's the way I produce it for me.
Well, you know? Yeah, for you. But no, I mean, the whole thing with, you know, basketball becoming more popular in Philadelphia again.
In this area. I'm happy.
In this area.
I can talk about basketball with anyone now.
That's right. Great. But it's going to drive ticket prices up.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I've been going to Lakers Sixer games every year for the last, I can't even count that at this point. I've been gone for so long. And depending on where I wanted to sit,
Yeah, you can sit in the nosebleeds for $17.76.
I went cheaper than that one year.
That's what the new ownership bucks. Group did. The new ownership group came in and they actually slashed ticket prices.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, I spent like $180 on Lakers Sixer seats and I was like right up on the floor.
$180 for the pair?
Not for one.
That's not bad.
It really wasn't bad at all.
That's like a nosebleed seat at the Staples Center.
Yeah, right. No, it's not that bad. If you talk to people who go, I post on Lakers message board, clublakers.com, great website. They spend about $70 for nosebleeds, which is still a hefty amount.
Yeah, and what are floor tickets like?
They're close to about a G.
Jeez.
A regular season game.
What do you think about the Clippers, though?
What do you mean?
What do I think about it? That's such a broad question.
Where do you think they are at this point? Are they a contender?
It's fun. It's weird because the West, I don't want to say the West declined. The West has just balanced out. The West is so balanced at this point. It's like 1 through 8, there's not like one dominant team. Whereas if you look out in the Eastern Conference, you point to your Chicago Bulls, your Miami Heat, and then there's everyone else.
Your Chicago, Miami, Boston.
Boston's awful.
Are they?
They're like 4-12, dude.
Oof. They got old in a hurry, didn't they?
Didn't really sneak up on it. I mean, last year you saw it coming.
You got Atlanta. You know, Philadelphia's in your top 8.
Talk about a team that's just missing something. Their coaching is awful. Joe Johnson, I don't know what's going on. Atlanta, on paper, looks so fucking good. Between Josh Smith, Joe Johnson, Al Horford, that team's a beast. Should be. They fucking suck.
Why?
Well, they're not good at coming from behind.
Do they have a star or a superstar?
Yeah, Joe Johnson.
There you go. They should be better than what they are. What about the Knicks?
The Knicks, I can very easily explain that. It goes back to their coach. Mike D'Antoni was awful in Phoenix when he had Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire and Sean Murray. He was awful. They were never going to win a championship with Mike D'Antoni. When he went to New York, I said the same thing that I'm going to say now. It was a matter of the personnel he has does not match the way he coaches. He coaches. I'll never forget this fucking quote when Sean Marion left Phoenix and he went to his first team. They go, okay, what were a couple plays they ran for you? He goes, we never ran plays in Phoenix. It was all fast break. You know, like, here's the way, when I watch hockey, and this is the way I feel. When I watch hockey, it looks like, oh, the puck was hit over there. Let's all go skate over there. Oh, let's hit the puck over there. Every once in a while, you'll see a nice pass, and a shot get off or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I see hockey, and I understand it's one of the more ignorant ways of looking at it. But when I watch a game, that's how I see it. When I watch the Suns, it's the same thing. It's, oh, rebound, let's go, we're out. You know what I mean? It's all fast break. It's all push, 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 push. When you watch a team like the Spurs or the Lakers or the fucking, even Chicago, they're running pick and roll, high pick and roll offense. They're running little backdoor cuts. And, you know, I could see the whole play progress. You know what I mean? Because I do know the game. But when I watch the Knicks right now, it's rebound and we're out. And maybe we'll get a good shot off. Maybe we won't. And that's kind of what's happening in L.A. L.A., we're taking 12 seconds to get into our fucking play, our offense.
Right.
By the time we get into our offense, there's 10 seconds left on the shot clock, and Kobe has to take a crazy shot just to get a shot up before the shot clock goes off. That's what happens. Yeah, I'm really nervous about Mitch Kupchak leaving. Like, I don't know what I'll do.
Well, wouldn't it all really depend on who they replace him with?
No, because whoever they replace him with, okay, here's, if you're not a Laker fan, you don't know this. What happened is our owner, Jerry Buss, he's really old. Think about the Steinbrenner situation to your baseball fans, because I think everyone knows that he handed the team down to his son, Hank. Well, essentially the same thing's happening in L.A. Jerry Buss is dying, or he's not dying, he's just old. He wants to enjoy his last couple of years with his crazy playmates and go get laid because that's how he's always been. And he's slowly handing his team down to Jim Buss. Now, he has two kids, Jim Buss and Jeannie Buss. Jeannie Buss goes out with Phil Jackson, and she's awesome. I would love for her to be running, or like really day-to-day basketball operations, owning the team. Only because she'd be listening to Phil Jackson. Anyone who listens to Phil Jackson becomes automatically smarter. Bam. Now, Jim Buss was completely responsible for drafting Andrew Bynum. He was like, I won't Bynum. So, I don't remember if you remember when we almost traded Kobe back in 05. I think it was 05. Remember that? When Kobe was like, I want out for like 3 days.
Vaguely, yeah.
Okay, well, there was like a 2 or 3 day stretch when Kobe was like, I want out of this fucking place. And, he was like, who the fuck is Andrew Bynum? Ship his ass out because we almost traded Andrew Bynum for Jason Kidd. And somebody saw Kobe Bryant in like the parking lot of a Whole Foods or something. Kobe was like, who the fuck is Andrew Bynum? Ship his ass out. Get Jay Kidd. But Jim Buss did not want to move Andrew Bynum because that was his pet. That was the guy he drafted. And obviously, Kupchak almost made that trade before the season started for Chris Paul. Which I was kind of meh with. I was happy because I saw an effort. So even like now, like I can't blame Mitch Kupchak. He went out, he made a trade, he tried to do it, and then David Stern goes, "Oh, basketball reasons."
Yeah, that was a complete fucking clusterfuck, that situation.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So it's like, no, if Mitch Kupchak leaves, I mean, the guy went out, he made a huge trade for Pau Gasol. She made so many good signings just the last couple of years. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Even this year, actually, again, Josh McRoberts and Troy Murphy, if you know, for what this team needs. And Jason Capono, too. He tried to fill in what we needed. He tried to make a trade for a point guard and get Chris Paul, where we're awful at point guard. Derek Fisher, as much as I love the guy, he's awful. He's not a starting point guard. He went out and got us some athleticism in Josh McRoberts. He got us Troy Murphy. And he got us Jason Capono, a shooter, someone who was supposed to be stretching the floor. We're awful at shooting. We can't shoot. So, it's scary right now in L.A. So we're going to try and hit up Lakers Sixers, it sounds like?
Absolutely. When are they playing? I'm sure you're pulling the schedule up over there, aren't you?
I'll get that done in about 1 second. Any interest in going to the UFC show in Jersey?
Money. Maybe if our podcast takes off and, you know.
Yeah, by Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, and we get sponsors and shit. You can make it happen. Send me the UFC.
Yeah, really? That'd be fun. No, you can get cheap tickets, cheap tickets.
Yeah, well, we can discuss that after the show. I'm sure people don't want us.
February 6th at Philly. It's right around the corner, actually, next week.
What, the Lakers and...
Yeah, next week.
No shit.
Yeah.
What day?
Yeah, it's a Monday.
Is it a night game?
It's actually next Monday, yeah.
Next Monday.
Hmm.
Not this Monday, the Monday after.
We'll see. What the hell are you doing? Romeo is, like, digging at
Romeo's
the soundboard.
Romeo's not a cat. He's, you know...
He's being a cat, and he's gonna fuck something up.
I think for now we're gonna wrap things up. You can follow us at Twitter. I am creating the account as we speak. Sunday, the number 6 pack on Twitter.
Yep, and you can also email us at
Sunday six pack at gmail.
Six is spelled out at gmail.com. If you want to comment on the show or you want to be heard.
Any questions? Any topics you want us to talk about?
Yes. We're always good for suggestions. Any of the like. And also, you know, you can always comment on our podcast at sundaysixpack.podbean.com.
We're going to get a Facebook set up, too,
we're
I
also
think.
Gonna, yeah, we're also going to get a
Facebook set up.
So you can like us on Facebook and all that fun stuff. We'll get all that set up, and all that information will be in future podcasts.
Next week's going to be crazy.
Super Bowl Sunday, baby.
Next week's Super Bowl Sunday, the day after Nick Diaz, Carlos Condit. So we'll talk a little UFC next week. Mostly a lot of Super Bowl shit. A lot of people coming in and out during the discussion. I mean, Mike's going to be in it. So real fast, let's talk. Tell them about the bet. I know we kind of...
The bet that we made? What is your obsession with the soundboard room?
Yeah, the bet that we made. So, anyway, Mike... So, real fast, now we've been talking to you guys. Mike's a diehard Philadelphia fan. He likes all the Philadelphia teams. Hates all the New York teams. So, he's an Eagle fan. He obviously took the 49ers over the Giants. Before the playoffs started, I said the Giants were going to the Super Bowl. Everyone knows that, I think. I think everyone can agree on that one, that I did make that prediction. So, anyway, I said to Mike, I said, instead of something monetary, why don't we have a little fun with this game? And the loser had to wear an opposing team's jersey that they hate. So, Mike, next week, you guys won't see it, but it'll be killing him, and we'll be making fun of him all Sunday for it.
We could always take a picture and put it on the Facebook page.
Oh, for sure. We'll definitely be doing that. That goes without question.
There will be pictures. And, you know, a lot of my friends are like, oh, my God, you have to wear an Eli Manning jersey to the Super Bowl party. I need to see pictures of this.
Yeah, I think it was a perfect bet. Because I think it's the same thing as him losing $300. It's the equivalent of that. So it's killing him. And... So, anyway, I think we're going to close it out with a little Udell with JPP. And,
enjoy.
Enjoy.
See you guys next week.
Blue Army with Harmony. Yellow, well, I'll make sure that you shout, 'cause QB's down for